my Bible says that John the Baptizer, as a baby, he was moved in his spirit and jumped with joy, it says.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, friends. This is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church. And Pastor Mark, it's the month of December around Chicago. It's gray skies and hot coffee, and people are looking forward to this time of year. What do you get most excited about at Christmas time?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, you know, Christmas is an incredible time. It's very, there's the real positive and the real negative. The real positive, of course, for us, Joshua, is that we are focusing on the most incredible, one of the most incredible events in history, and that is all God becoming all man and being born in a manger. Powerful, powerful. Mm. At the same time, I don't know about you, but it's a pretty stressful time around my household.
Yeah, it can be.
With kids and holiday parties and Christmas events and year-end events, I mean, it gets stressful. And so we're reminding our listeners, along with all the rest of the Moody program, this is a time to focus on Jesus. You can put presents under the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can decorate your house. You could go out and shop. You can have your parties, but don't forget the centrality of Jesus Christ, all God, becoming all man for you and I.
Great reminder, Pastor Mark. Thank you. Friends, let's get ready for today's message.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us. Pastor Mark continues his brand new series entitled Jesus, The Story Behind Christmas. And today is the second half of his message called Breakthrough Timing. Our text continues in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Let's get right into the message. Here's Pastor Mark on this edition of Straight Talk.
If God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If you doubt his word, you may lose your joy and feel unforgiven, but it doesn't take away the promise of God. You're still forgiven. It just means you lose something in the process. Every time you doubt the word of God, it doesn't eliminate the promise of God. It just means that in the process, you lose your joy. You lose your peace. When God says your future's taken care of, casting all your cares upon me, yeah, but what if God doesn't take care of me? Well, it's not going to change the fact that God will take care. It just means that now you're going to, if you doubt his promises, you're going to be full of anxiety, and God is still going to do what God is going to do. Zechariah doubted the promise of God and he lost his speech. He complicated the delivery of the promise of God. Number four, most people will not understand your personal breakthrough encounter with God. When God is breaking through, getting you out of the waiting room, when there's an encounter with God, most people will not understand fully your own personal encounter with God. It says, meanwhile, while Zacharias was in the temple experiencing the word of God and an angel of God, the people were outside waiting for Zacharias and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. Some of them were probably whispering, maybe God struck him dead. Someone else is saying, he's old, he probably fell asleep. What is he doing in the temple so long? When he came out, he could not speak to them because he doubted the promise and his speech was taken away. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. Think about it. Zechariah has just been given the greatest news of his life. What you've been praying for, waiting for 40 years, the birth of a son, your wife to get pregnant, it is been given to you. So he comes out of the temple wide-eyed, excited, looking at the people, and they're like, hey, what took you so long? But from his miming, they kind of got the idea he's seen a vision. They couldn't quite understand what he had seen, but they were able to understand he had seen a vision. Can I tell you this? Sometimes when God is working in your heart and you have an encounter with God that's deep and powerful and spiritual, it is difficult to explain to others exactly what God has done in your heart. How do you explain in the natural what has happened in the supernatural? How about it? How do you explain in the natural? I recently encountered someone who had actually visited this church a while back, a couple years ago, and she'd visited this church, and I saw her in a public place, and I saw her, and she ran up to me, and she said, "Mr. Job," she said, "can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And she said, "The first time I encountered the gospel was when I visited your church." And she said, "Then I fell away. I wasn't coming. And I started going to this church." And she said, "During the service time," she said, "something happened to me. They called people forward to pray. And I don't know how to explain it," she said, "but I just started to weep and cry. I just felt overwhelmed like something I'd never felt before, like something was happening deep inside of me." And she said, "I had this uncontrollable crying and crying, overwhelmed by it." She said, "What was that?" I said, "It's called the Holy Spirit." I said, "It's the Holy Spirit drawing you to Him, calling you to Him, touching you so deeply that you know it's God. And you can't explain exactly how. You can't describe exactly what happens in the spiritual dimension, but you know that it's not a normal thing. It's not a explainable thing on the natural plane. It's a divine, supernatural thing that's unexplainable." You see, the spiritual world cannot always be clearly explained by the natural world. Your encounter with God, what God is doing deep within your soul and your heart, isn't always easy to explain what God is doing inside of you. Even an experience that you may have in prayer or an experience that you may have in worship, someone, you say, I felt the presence of God, and someone says, "Well, what does the presence of God feel like?" And you can't quite explain it, define it, describe it, but in your heart you know it's a spiritual God encounter. How about it? That's the way it goes. And Zacharias couldn't quite explain with his limited vocabulary exactly what had happened within his heart when he tried to explain it to these people, but he knew that he had had a fresh encounter with God. Number five, people of faith gather with people of faith to survive the gap time. So it tells us that in verse 39, at the time Mary got ready, and I'm not going to go into the whole Mary story, but you have to remember that Elizabeth was old. How old? I'm not really sure how old, but more than likely in her 70s or older. And Mary was young, probably 16, 17 years old. So they were second or third cousins, but one was an older woman. Not that if you're 70 or 80 here, you're old, but, you know, just a more mature woman. And another one was 16 years old. So it tells us that at the time Mary, the 16-year-old, got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. Why? Because the angel had told her that her cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant, 5 months pregnant. And so Mary, when she heard the news from the angel that she was going to be pregnant, that she was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, she wanted to go find her cousin who was also pregnant in a supernatural way, because people of faith need people of faith to maintain their faith strong. People of faith need to be around other people of faith to make sure they can stand strong until they receive the fullness of the promise. I don't know about you, but when God is doing something in your life, you want to be around other people where God is doing something in their life too, because they can't, they're the only people that can semi-understand what God is doing in your life. Other people look at you like, are you crazy? What are you talking about? But you understand that other people who have faith and have experienced God, they know what you're talking about. They sense, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And so Mary ran to find Elizabeth. And the Bible says, where she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, the older woman, the baby leaped in her womb. Oh, man. A leaping baby. I remember when my wife was pregnant, she would say, she would be laying in bed and she's, Mark, look. And I'd look over and I'd see kind of her stomach doing little waves. Like, you know, I'm wondering, is that an elbow? Is that a head? And sometimes it felt like the baby's like dancing or something or kicking or moving around. But I don't know if I ever saw a baby leap. You know, there was never a boom, boom, you know, happening in her stomach. But this was a, when Mary entered the house of Elizabeth, the baby leaped within her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the child that you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise in her." And listen, and Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then she returned home. I think that Mary needed to be around another woman that understood her. She needed to be around another woman that was going through something similar like she was going through. And by the way, I don't have time to explain this deeply, but you understand, I've told you before why Jesus was born of a virgin. Because Jesus, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus has always existed with the Father. God exists as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity or the Triune God. He has always existed as three in one. From the beginning, eternity past through eternity future, the God himself, Jesus was not a created being according to Scripture, but has always existed with the Father as a Triune God. When God decided to redeem the world, Jesus the Son needed to enter the world not only as divine but as fully human. In order to be fully human and fully divine, Jesus had to be the spotless, sinless person that lived 33 years without any sin so that he could pay the price as a spotless person for you and I.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Breakthrough Timing, which is from our brand new series called Jesus, The Story Behind Christmas. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 1. The message, Breakthrough Timing.
The Bible says that since the fall of man, everyone born after Adam and Eve, we've inherited the sin nature. As you and I have a sin nature, you were born with a sin nature. No one had to teach you to sin, you were pretty good at it. By yourself. Why? Because you were born with a sin nature, you have the proclivity to sin, the predisposition to sin. Because your nature is a sinful nature. You were born that way. That's why we have to be born again so that the nature of God is deposited within us. But in your physical being, you're born with a sinful nature. You're born with a fallen nature. There is evil that resides within you called the fallen nature. That fallen nature is passed through the seed of man. Jesus was deposited within the womb of a woman, But he bypassed the natural reproductive process by not being born of the seed of man, but being impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit so that he would not be born with a sinful nature. Are you tracking with me? This is really important to understand because Jesus did not die with sin or the predisposition to sin. He was fully blameless. He's called the second Adam in Scripture, which means the first Adam was born without a sin nature, and the second Adam, which was Jesus, was also born without a sin nature. Therefore, he would become the perfect sacrifice. John the Baptizer was about 5 months older than Jesus. They were second cousins. When Mary, who had the seed of Jesus inside of her, the fetus inside of her, when she was exposed to John, Elizabeth, who was 5 months pregnant with John the Baptizer, the Bible says that John the Baptizer, that fetus inside of Elizabeth, jumped. How can a fetus jump? Some people wonder, by the way, when a child is conceived, is it a glob of tissue, or is it a human being? And there's a lot of debate in our culture about when does a human being become a human being? And many people have bought into the idea that when a baby is born and breathing, then finally it becomes a human being. But as long as it's in the womb of a mother, it's just a tissue, it's a fetus, it's not a human being. Therefore, we can take its life by any means of abortion if we choose to do so, because it's not really a human being. My Bible says that John the Baptizer, as a baby, had a spirit and jumped, because maybe his mind was not developed enough to understand it. His body was still being developed, but he had a spirit within him that when he came in contact with the powerful Spirit of God, he was moved in his spirit and jumped with joy, it says. I believe that we're made of body, soul, and spirit. I believe that a baby, even before it's born, has a spirit and has the value of a human being. I also believe that when someone is old and their mind has gone and their body may not be there, their spirit is still there. In fact, I've had this experience a couple of different times, and the first time it happened to me, I kind of freaked out a little bit because it was just a kind of, but it reminded me that the person has a spirit. I was called to a hospital, and there was a 90-year-old, he was at least 90 years old, and his family told me that he had been in a coma for a week. So he had been in a coma, unable to respond mentally, physically. He was set up by machines and he was breathing, but he would not die and would not get better. And so his family called me to visit the hospital. I wasn't sure if they wanted me to pray that he would resurrect or if they wanted me to pray that he would go to glory. Because sometimes when you're 90, you're kind of in between. And so when I went into the room, I saw this man that had been laying in a coma for a week, an entire week without any response. And I went up to him and his family was speaking in Spanish, so they said he understands only Spanish. And as I went to pray, I felt like the Lord prompted me to pray that he would be released into his presence. So I went up close to him and I whispered to him, "Your family's here." I did it in Spanish. "Tu familia está aquí. Tienes paz en tu corazón. Es tiempo de irte con el Señor." It's time to go with God. Peace is here. Your grandkids are okay. And so I just said, "Lord, take them now. Receive them into your presence." 30 seconds after I prayed that, the machine started going, beep, 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 beep. The nurse came into the room. The nurse came into the room and she looked at the family and said, "Sorry, I'm sorry to tell you, but that your relative is gone." And I was reminded by that. The family was like all amazed that it had happened that quick. But I believe that he was hanging on, and even though his mind could not fully understand and his body was still breathing with machines, I feel like his spirit needed to be released. I went home and told my wife, and she said, "You're like the angel of death." I said, no, that's not it. I mean, he was ready to go. She said, don't pray for him. Don't come to my hospital bed if I'm sick, because I want to pray for a resurrection. I don't want to pray for death. It's like, okay, all right. So, but I believe that he was ready to go, and his spirit was still in his body. And just like a baby, their mind not be fully developed or their body, but they are body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit doesn't vacate the body until it's time to go. And I think some people can stay alive because their soul is clinging to the physical part of their body. And sometimes they have to be told, hey, stop clinging, release, and go meet your maker. Amen? Mary spent 3 months with Elizabeth. She needed to be around someone of faith because she knew that she had been promised a child, but between the promise and the delivery, she needed to be around someone else that understood faith. Some of you are in the waiting room, and the worst thing that you could do is get around people that don't understand the waiting room. Some of you need to link up with someone else that is in the same waiting room but is believing with you. And you say, let's believe together. Some of you need to get around someone that has faith like you have and say, you know, the world may not understand us. They might all think we're crazy, but we're going to stay in this waiting room and not lose our joy and not give up on God until God brings about the promise. Some of you need to go around some people of faith. Months, Mary needed to be around her aunt. Number six, obedience unleashes breakthroughs in the spiritual realm that can come no other way. Verse 57 says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared her joy. Everybody heard, hey, there's an old woman giving birth to a baby. Man, God is good. He answered her prayer. This is supernatural, incredible. So she gave birth to a baby. And verse 57 says, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. In the Jewish culture, on the eighth day, they would circumcise the child. And it was often at that time that they would also give the child a name. They would give a name that, usually they would give the name of the father or the name that represented the family clan. And so they came on the eighth day to circumcise the boy, because circumcision was a sign of the covenant, circumcise the boy. And as they circumcised the boy, Zechariah was there, his mother was there, and they wanted the relatives wanted to name him Zechariah Jr. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. And the relatives thought, well, John, why are you going to call him John? I'm sure his father wants him to be called Zechariah, little Zachy. And so they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who's named John. But you remember the angel had said, when he's born, his name shall be John. And so then they made signs to his father. This is funny to me. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would name the child. Now, why are they making signs to his father? He's not deaf. He just can't speak. Like, he's not deaf. But, you know, sometimes people when they, I don't know, I've seen it happen before. I've been to Spain sometimes or had people from Spain come over and they don't, you know, understand English very well. I introduce them to someone and say, hi, his name is Jose. And people say, hi, your name is Jose. My name is George. Well, he's not deaf. He just doesn't understand English. So, you know, raising your voice isn't going to help him understand. So it's just kind of our natural proclivity to kind of try to, anyways. So they're making signs to him. And he asked for a writing tablet. And so they give him a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote on the tablet, his name is John. And I love this because it says immediately or suddenly. I love that strength of that word, immediately. Say it out loud, immediately. Because sometimes things happen progressively and other times they happen immediately. It says, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free and he began to speak praising God. Immediately.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. And this was the second half of his message called Breakthrough Timing, which is from our series called Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for part two, Surviving Surprises. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.